You're tuned to Booked on KD&K. My next guest is Tamara Chung, reporter for the Colorado Sun. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
We just heard from Robbie, a writer at the Benton Institute for Broadband and Society, recounting his top 10 stories related to the impact of broadband in society. And he applauded your reporting, and I wanted to ask you about two stories you published last year, The Cruel Irony of the Digital Divide in Colorado from September, and As Colorado Nears 100% Broadband Access, Funds for Rural Support Shrink from July. What's the gist for broadband deployment in Colorado in 2020?
If you're talking about urban broadband, you know, Colorado as a state, you know, we're at about 99% covered with broadband. Rural is not as high. It's about 86%, 87% around now. So a lot of my original story focused on the need to get to that, you know, 90% for rural broadband. But as I was reporting that, you know, I realized there's a lot happening in the Front Range area with the urban poor, you know, the urban digital divide. And, you know, that's not really being addressed with public funds. It's being supported with a more private or nonprofit organizations.
So the biggest name in your broadband stories, David Cohen, is the Comcast executive, and you met him last summer. He gave you that quote that was part of one of your headlines. What did David Cohen say?
The cruel irony of the digital divide. You know, he was talking about the urban poor. So, you know, for years we've been building more and more broadband access to suburban and the rural areas. But there's a huge chunk of the population, well, not a huge, but, you know, there's some stats out there that say there's a lot of people in cities that can't afford broadband service, or they're kind of, you know, they're a part of the digital divide.
And Cohen said the more you can do on the internet, the further behind it leaves people without access.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, that creates that divide that we didn't want to have, you know, with people here in our own cities who, you know, like parents of school children who can't or aren't emailing the teachers, or, you know, people looking for jobs, they can easily go online, but, you know, maybe they don't have that access, or maybe their access is too much and they can only do it on a cell phone, so it's not as easy to do.
And why does Comcast stick out amongst the other telecom and cable companies when it comes to helping to get low-income Coloradans connected?
Well, you know, Comcast, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that do now provide some sort of lower or cheaper internet service if you meet certain income levels, and Comcast has done this for years. But the thing that really changed this past year or last year was that Comcast kind of took off a bunch of restrictions. Like before, it was only offering service to people who qualified for, you know, ATD housing or school lunch programs. You know, if your student was at a certain income level and qualified for school lunch, you'd also qualify for this Comcast internet service, which is about $10 a month. And several megs download speeds. But last summer, they took off a lot of those restrictions. So now pretty much, you know, a huge swath of the urban poor do qualify for the service.
And basically all you have to do is prove that you receive some sort of federal assistance. You mentioned national school lunch programs, but also Pell Grants, SNAP, you know, food stamps, Medicaid, other federal programs. And so it seems like while the public interest community has plenty of critique about Comcast, or David Cohen is sort of known as a union buster, at the same time, they really do have a track record of getting a lot of folks connected to higher speeds at a price point that has allowed that access to spread.
Right. And it's become a good option for folks in urban areas.
And in terms of your own reporting, was it surprising to learn that when access is available in cities, there are still so many people who are basically saying they had to choose between food or internet or other bills.
Right, right. That was surprising. But, you know, if you think about it, for a lot of folks, say in the Denver metro area, if you pay for Comcast, your bill's going to be at least $100. And that could be just for internet. And that's my current bill right now. You know, mm-hmm. I get internet and I don't even get cable TV, and it's almost $100 a month. So if you think about that, you know, how is someone who is maybe looking for a job or, you know, can't afford certain things, maybe they can afford food, but they need to pay their utility bills, and, you know, for electricity, you know, how are they going to afford that $100 a month? And, you know, I think a lot of us don't think about that, but there are groups that are looking into it, and it's helping.
One of the other solutions that I was not aware of that I loved learning about in your story, and I think I'm sure was something that really struck Robbie and some of these national policy folks, was what's going on with PCs for People partnering with the Denver Public Library. Just in the last couple minutes that we have, can you talk about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I had heard about this program as well, but you can, as a Denver Public Library cardholder, you can check out a modem, and they don't limit the service. They don't censor what you can access. It's basically like checking out a book. And the thing about this service is there, just like some really popular books, there's a waiting list. In my story, I don't remember exactly how many people were on the waiting list at that time, but you can actually go online and see how many people are waiting for a modem that will give them internet at home. So they can take it home and use the service.
And you said that it became so popular that they doubled the amount of modems available. And now, as of September, there were 125 modems being checked out in the library, all checked out at once, with another 200 people waiting to get their shot. And I mean, that just shows you the demand, which, again, I think even for those of us who complain about our internet bills, you just don't realize how many people are just trying to rely on their mobile data. But it's not easy to complete a project on your phone. Before we go, Tamara, I just want to ask you about rural Colorado. One of the areas of growth for deployment that surprises people, certainly surprised me, is the rural electric co-ops. What kind of impact are they having?
Well, the co-ops are really looked at as a great source for, you know, future broadband service, because they're already connected to so many households in that community. So that's why groups like, you know, the Delta Montrose Electric, they're working on broadband for their community, and they actually have applied for a federal grant that will help add 30, you know, gigabit internet to 3,400 homes in that area, and install fiber lines. You know, so the Colorado Broadband Office is really hoping to partner with those utilities, and, you know, because they're already there. You know, they don't have to build necessarily from scratch. They don't have to build their customer base, you know. So that's a good source for growth.
It's cool to think in the high-tech world that rural electric co-ops are considered a hidden gem by the broadband office. And you mentioned Delta Montrose Electric Association. Their project is called Elevate. There's the Empire Electric Association in La Plata, and they're doing a new jointly owned project called Fast Track Communications. San Luis Valley Rural Electric Co-op has one called Cielo. And the list goes on. I mean, Yampa Valley Electric Association has one called Luminate. I just thought, bravo, Tamara, for kind of figuring out the lay of the land on this and then having these national policy wonks really get excited about your coverage, even though it's not all good news.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Colorado seems a lot further than some other cities and states.
That's Tamara Chung. She's a reporter for the Colorado Sun, and we'll link to these stories and more on our website at kdnk.org. Thanks so much for speaking to me.
Thanks for having me. Take care.